The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of 55KRC, The Talk Station, and Clear Channel Worldwide.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, Cincinnati's only gun talk show. Join us. We're going to explore the topic of firearms and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. Now here's your host, John Johnston, on 55KRZ, the talk station.
Good evening and welcome to a very special edition of Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. I'm your host, John Johnston. As always, check out ballisticradio.com and facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me this evening is Mr. Andy Ulrich. Andy, how's it going?
Back on my feet.
Hey, yeah, you just had surgery not too long ago. Glad to have you back in here. So tonight we're doing something a little different. We have a lot of people that write me or, you know, try and get a hold of me after the fact and have questions. So this evening we're going to be doing a listener call-in show. If you would like to talk about anything at all related to firearms, for the most part, you can get a hold of us at 513-749-5500 or 1-800-823-8255. Lines are open right now. And I also tasked my co-host with coming up with some questions for me just to get the ball rolling, and I think Jim sent some questions in too, didn't he?
Jim did send some questions.
All right.
We have been corresponding behind your back.
Oh, God. It's like my mom and dad talking to each other when I was a kid. So, yeah, do your worst. Right now, no one on the line. So if you, like I said, guys, if you want to call in, talk about guns, things to do with guns, feel free, 513-749-5500. Or if you're out of the area, which I know a lot of you listen online, 1-800-823-8255. So, Andy, I've got some online questions, but I'll let you hit me first.
Hit a little bit what you did this week, though. You had a pretty cool experience this week, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I actually went up and shot with Robert Vogel. Robert was a guest on the show, and I don't remember which episode it was off the top of my head, but he's kind of known for being one of the top competitive shooters in the world. That was actually really, really nice, and one of the cooler things I've done as far as getting to go up there, spend an entire day just getting private one-on-one instruction with him, having him sort of break down some of the things I was doing or not doing well or doing wrong or whatever. It was just actually really cool. Set a couple personal records for me on various drills. So that was
It's always excellent to get that feedback, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of nice, too, just because, you know, and I'm not going to single out any particular trainer or class or anything, but as far as Robert charges $600 for a day's worth of instruction, and that's for one person or two. So you and a buddy can go up for $300 a piece, have, you know, an entire day with one of the best shooters in the world. I was, you know, wanting to work on a couple things as far as my draws, reloads and stuff like that. I actually got to take video and see some of the things that I was doing or not doing. I nailed a sub-one-second draw from concealment. So that was cool.
And I guess, you know, my feedback on that would be I'm not advocating don't go to a class where there's 25 people in it because you still gain some knowledge from that. But you definitely have more individual shooting time with eyes on you, which makes a huge difference in what you absorb from a class.
One, that's it. Because, I mean, a lot of class, and I've been to a lot of classes as far as you know, getting to learn different things and different ways to do things. And essentially, when you're going to a group class, when you're going to a class that's got 10 or 20 students in it, what you're doing is you get to listen to the instructor talk for a little bit about why or how he does things, and then he's going to run you through some drills that illustrate, you know, how that comes into play as far as in practice. And he'll walk back and forth up the line and down the line. If he sees something, he'll take a second to talk to you and then go on to the next student. Whereas when you get to, you know, have one-on-one instruction with a dude like Vogel, I mean, literally I've got 8 hours to, hey, tweak this a little bit, try this. Right, and it was just really cool. So,
which kind of leads me into my first question.
Yes.
So we kind of have a reputation on the show for having really some of the best trainers as guests on here.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, we would always advocate, you know, prior priority to train if you possibly can, but you, for many reasons, people can't. Financial, time restraints, right. Maybe even physical limitations. They can't get on a range, but they still take, you know, the notion that they should be able to protect themselves pretty seriously. Do you think there's any good information on the internet that everyone can access, but and incorporate that into their plan and self-train with it? You think that's possible?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I can say that with 100% certainty. You just have to know where to look. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of forums where to use an expression, the signal-to-noise ratio is not as high as some other places.
I think that's pontification.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone does it, but a lot of us will talk about things that we're not qualified to talk about. And it's real easy to run into that on the internet. And for the people holding on the line, we're going to get to your calls probably after the next commercial. But as far as using the internet for a resource, you kind of just have to know how to filter out the good information from the bad.
How do you sort it out?
Well, I'm a big, big fan of Todd Green's website, pistoltraining.com. pistol-training.com, or the forum that's attached to that. That's where I hang out on the internet, and I know that sounds weird, but there's a lot of, you know, a lot of the guests that I've had on the show, that's how I've run into them or know them. Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of industry professionals kind of go and discuss various concepts, and it's really cool to see, you know, two or three of the bigger, well-known training people discussing a concept back and forth and like, well, I agree with this and I don't agree with that.
Right.
So, I mean, you can go there. Modern Service Weapons seems to be a good place to go as far as you can pull up some articles there. I'm getting to be a fan of Gun Up Magazine, and full disclosure, I actually just wrote an article for them, so I might be biased, but that seems to be a place where there's some good information, gunnuts.net. You know, I agree with a lot of the things that are on there, but it's just, you know, you need to understand what your goals are, I guess, and what you're trying to get out of it. I mean, everyone's different, and I get hate mail occasionally. Jake, if you're listening, I love you, buddy. So, oh, that was mean. But, I mean, you know, some people just want to show that's, I'm going to talk about the next gun, and that's right. Not really, you know, that's not really what I like. I kind of like, obviously, the show's geared towards self-defense. Now, occasionally, it strays from that, but there are so many different aspects to that, and honestly, the gun is the least important part.
It's the last thing you're going to go to.
Yeah, I mean, well,
if you're going to it first, you're going to be screwed.
Well, not even that per se, but, you know, as far as, if I carry a Glock or a Sig or a Smith & Wesson, a 9/40-45, that doesn't matter at all.
No.
I mean, if it goes bang and I can hit stuff with it,
if
that's...
you can run it.
Yeah, exactly. That's all that matters. You know, I shoot a Sig, and I like Sigs fine. Mm-hmm. And I talk to people, and they're like, oh, yeah, Sigs are great. They're the best gun ever. And I'm like, I'm not saying that at all.
No. It's what you run the best. If it's what you run the best, you're going to carry it. I mean, you'd be stupid to carry something that you can't run.
Yeah, I mean, and that's it. Really, and that, I think a lot of people lose sight of that. We can talk about that a little bit more, though. We've got to go to break right now. When we get back, we got... Jim and Kyle from Cincinnati have a couple questions, but right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Wealthy and wise, the Steve Perrin Coordinated Financial Planning Studios. This is 55 KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station. Brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. Highway to the Danger Zone, such a good song. Did you catch that?
That's straight cover. Out of the 80s for me. I love
well,
that
it was
song.
A cover, though. It's a very good cover. Danger Zone. Anyway, so we were talking about training and internet and... whether or not you can get good information on there. Short answer, yes. Just got to know where to look. Like I said, pistolforum.com or pistoltraining.com. A lot of really good articles there. So that'd be the short answer to that. We've actually got three callers on the line right now. If you want to get in line, you can get a hold of us at 513-749-5500 or 1-800-823-5500. 8255. I will try and get to all your calls by the end of the evening. If not, I'll probably hang out here for a couple minutes after the show and take them off air, but we'll see how we do. First up, we have, hey, Jim from Cincinnati. Let's see what he wants to talk about. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, I have a concealed carry permit, and I've renewed it one time already.
Okay.
So I'm coming up for a second renewal, and I know originally you had to retake the class after one renewal. And I understood that they were getting rid of that. Is that still the case or not?
Yeah, all you have to, I assume it's an Ohio concealed carry permit, correct?
Yeah, it's Ohio concealed carry.
Okay, all you have to do is go down to a sheriff's office, either in the county that you live in or one of the adjacent counties, and bring in your current concealed carry permit and have them take a look at that, and you'll apply for the renewal right there. You don't need to take any new classes or anything like that.
In perpetuity. In perpetuity.
Yeah. It's good in perpetuity. So
if you didn't, let's say you didn't renew it, this year, which you'd be crazy not to, but let's say if you, for some reason, something came up and for a whole year you couldn't do it, you could still take that license back, the ID itself. Take it in there,
and
that is proof
renewals.
That you have taken your original course. There's no more recertification, is basically what they had written in there. That's gone.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you very much. I like your show. When I get a chance to listen to it, I always do.
Hey, thanks so much. And if you do the whole internet thing, you can always catch all the old episodes at ballisticradio.com after the fact. So thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Thanks. So, hey, thanks to Jim for calling in. We've got, let's see, next caller. We're going to take Kyle's call in 1 second. Like I said, if you want to get on the line, 749-5500, 513 area code, or 1-800-823-8255. So let's see what Kyle would like to talk about. Kyle, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What is your question, sir?
I was wondering if you guys knew anything about bump stocks.
Bump fire stocks. Yes, I do. For those that and you hear them called slide fire stocks, bump fire stocks, and all that. Essentially, what that does is take the recoil of the firearm and through the design of the stock and trigger finger placement and all that, your finger is pretty much staying in the same spot, and as the gun recoils, in recoil, it comes forward enough that your finger will hit the trigger again. It mm-hmm. simulates a fully automatic rifle. I know those are popular with a lot of people, and I guess if you're wanting to see how much money you can spend in a loud noise and a flash in the quickest amount of time possible, they're good for that. If we're staying within the scope of the show and kind of what I try and push people towards, I don't like them very much,
right.
Is a self-defense tool. They are completely useless for multiple reasons, and I'll just hit a couple of them real quick. First being that they're not as controllable as an actual fully automatic rifle, and even those, unless you're pretty good with them, are not nearly as controllable as the movies would have you think. And honestly, you can make better hits with a semi-automatic rifle, learning recoil management and how to run the trigger well, than you can with a fully automatic rifle trying to do the same thing. So, A, not as effective as people would think. The accuracy, which is something you really want to have in a self-defense situation, is not necessarily there as much. And then the other thing that people don't seem to think about is that if you were to be forced to use one of those in a self-defense situation and you get a prosecutor that for whatever reason is not friendly towards Second Amendment rights or guns in general, they are going to try and use that to hang you out to dry. Now, they might not be able to do it, but keep in mind, anything that you give them to talk about in court is something that you have to pay your attorney or your experts to refute in court. So that directly turns into money that you have to spend explaining why you did that. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're wanting to go out in your buddy's backyard and just have fun with one, hey, whatever makes you happy. If you're wanting to use it in a self-defense situation, no, don't do that.
And you just don't slap them on any AR, because the way they work is the heavier the rifle you have, the less likely it is that you're going to be able to make it fire in a rapid succession. It all depends on the gun itself. It depends.
Yeah, I just, I don't, I personally really, you know, if I'm being frank, I honestly can't stand them. But
I like keeping my ammo when I need my ammo.
Well, you know, so, but does that answer your question, Kyle?
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, guys.
Hey, no problem. I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling in. So,
sexy toy, that sexy coolness, you know, that kind of appeals. But really, man, learn to run an AR. Once you learn how to run an AR, you'll have all the fun you can have with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it, you know, like people ask me a lot of questions, and I always like to kind of try and find out what they're doing with it. And, mm-hmm. and honestly, if you say, hey, I'm thinking about getting one of these, and I ask you why, and you're like, well, because I think it'll be fun, mm-hmm. that's a perfect reason. Sure. I'm fine
that's
with that.
That's legitimate, yeah.
You know, if it's going to be a self-defense situation, though, there are all sorts of problems I have with that. So we had another gentleman call in. He didn't want to stay on the line, but he did have a question about a training recommendation for husband and wife. I want to say he was down in Louisville. I'm not as familiar with that area as far as the trainers that are around there quite yet. That without getting into too much detail, that will probably be changing in the next couple months, but I'm going to just leave that at that. As far as if you're wanting to travel somewhere, honestly, a lot of people make a distinction between male and female as far as training goes. I don't think there is one, or if there is a distinction, it's generally overblown. There are all sorts of good trainers around here. You know, there's John up at Mad Duck Training in West Elkton. There's TDI Ohio, which is, you've got a lot of experience with them, Andy.
Them, Little Miami Tactical.
Yeah, Little Miami Tactical. I mean, these are all Cincinnati areas. Yeah. If you feel like making the drive and you really want to get excellent training, Robert Vogel, he's north of Dayton. I know Dave Spaulding runs some classes up near Dayton, but I'm not as familiar with his schedule. If you're in Louisville and feel like driving down to Memphis, probably the most effective handgun training there is in the country right now as far as results go would be Tom Givens at Rangemaster. He was a guest on the show, and the reason why I suggest him, he's had 63 students involved in shootings. 61 of those students survived with little to no injury. Two of those students died, and they only died because they didn't have their guns that day. So we're looking at 61 wins, 0 losses, and 2 forfeitures. So Tom Givens, Rangemaster, if you can make it down there, probably my number one suggestion. Anyway, we got another 3 minutes, and we've got Wes from Batavia on the line. If you would like to get on the air with us, you can call us at 513-749-5500 or 1-800-823-8255 or pound 550 on any AT&T cell phone. So let's see what Wes would like to ask us about. Wes, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What can I help you with, Wes?
My problem is I've had my license for one renewal, and I had no problem. Went down to the sheriff's office. It's routine, you know. And then when the second renewal came up, I went down and started out same as before, you know. Lady, very nice, took me over and introduced me to the other deputy and fingerprinted me and everything. And they said that I would receive my new license in 2 weeks. And so it's been over a month now.
Okay.
Maybe 6, and I never have received it.
I'm assuming you're talking about Claremont County Sheriff's Department there in Batavia,
yeah.
Sheriff Roddenberg. They technically have 45 days to get that to you, and I do know they have. It's almost like the waves in the ocean. They were one of the top counties where people went to go get their licenses because they were so easy to get them through the process. So, and John can attest to that because John, that's where John just renewed his.
I just wanted to make sure. I'm looking at my license.
45 days. They have 45 days. It took me 21 days to get my renewal there. John did his a lot quicker than it. It all depends on the peak and the wave.
Well, not only that, too. It's going to depend on your background and, you know, for various different job-related reasons. I've had a lot of background checks done on me. So I would assume that they tend to go through a bit quicker at this point, just because they're used to seeing my name. They have 45 days, though, to approve you for it. Also, keep in mind, too, it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're not going to mail that to you. You're going to go and pick that up.
And the nice thing is they will call you. They'll call you to get it. Then you can pretty much go in 24 hours a day to pick it up. You go in on certain days to renew it there in Claremont County. They have set days. But when it's time to pick it up, you can go in 24/7 and pick that up.
Yeah. So, I mean, just give it the full 45 days and then call them and see what they say.
If you call them, I know for personal experience.
Would my age have anything to do with it?
No, absolutely not. No.
Not at all. Nope. So, thanks for calling in tonight, Wes. I hope that helped you out.
Okay. I appreciate it. Love your show.
Hey, thank you.
I've been listening to it since it started.
Hey, I appreciate it. You have a good evening.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go to commercial here in just 1 second, but no one on the line right now. So if you want to talk to us, 513-749-5500, 1-800-823-8255 if you're out of the area. Talk about anything you want to. But right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station.
Brian Thomas coming up in the morning show. Gary Jeff Walker filling in for me while I'm on my motorcycle trip. Ron Wilson will still be in the studio at 8:05, so hope you can stick around. 55KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. We are doing our listener call-in episode? I'm doing my listener call-in episode. It's going to be so cool.
Stop drinking, John, before the show.
Oh, I don't want to. Episode tonight. So if you want to get a hold of us in your local, 513-749-5500, out of state, or if you'd like, dial an 800 number, 1-800-823-8255, or #550 on any AT&T phone. We got three people on the line right now, but hey, I'll still try and get to your call. First up, Steve from Cincinnati. Steve, how's it going this evening?
You there?
I can kind of hear you.
All right, hold on. Is that better?
Yes.
That is better.
All right, quick question. Last week, you talked about doing sort of your pre-work for the event that you may be in a situation as far as getting like an attorney and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm sort of wondering what the process is and where the best place to go to, you know, to find a pro-Second Amendment type attorney.
Well, there are a couple different places that you can try and check that out at. First one would be the local bar association. Honestly, if you're in Ohio, and I'm pretty sure you are since you're calling from Cincinnati, there's Derek DeBrose. I always say his name wrong, and I'm sorry, Derek, if you're listening. He's up in Columbus and is a great guy, concentrates on gun issues. You know, essentially you just want to find someone, though, that is not only familiar with criminal law and handles criminal cases, but is familiar with the ins and outs of not only firearms ownership, but, you know, self-defense and all that. So I want to say there's the there's a couple web resources, too, and they are
Ohio's looking around a little bit on Buckeye Firearms Association.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They don't specifically list any there. I mean, they'll list they got a couple opinions there for guys that are really good, but you and by all means consider them too. But you can also get on Ohioans for Concealed Carry's website. It's OhioCCW.org, and then you'll see a link for attorney listings on it. Now, just because they're listed there does not necessarily mean they're a right fit for you, or you still have to do your own homework with them. You have to talk to them.
Right. So,
what kind of homework would you want to do on somebody like that?
Well, if you're a shooter at all, you're going to be able to talk to them and know whether or not they know their butt from a hole in the ground as far as guns are concerned.
And just because they're an attorney does not mean that they do.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I've had a couple lawyers on the show now. So, honestly, your best bet, the show you're thinking of was the one with Mitchell Esquire. Mm-hmm. If you want to, send me an email or a message on Facebook after the fact, and I will put you in touch with him, and he would be able to recommend someone for you, I'm sure. So,
okay.
All right, Steve?
All right, and then if you could go over maybe the process, I guess you want to call do you have to set up like a sit down meeting with them, or?
Yeah, I mean, you would just want to call and set an appointment, maybe put them on retainer. But I mean, like I said, we could spend a whole show talking about all this stuff, and I want to make sure I get to everyone else's questions. But essentially, just call, set an appointment. Hey, I'm a concealed carry, you know, license holder, and I want to have an attorney just set up in case I ever need one.
And talk to your buddy on the range. He might be standing right next to a pro Second Amendment attorney.
Yeah. You never know.
There at the range that day.
Hey, Steve, I hope that helped out, and thanks for listening. You enjoy the rest of your Sunday, okay?
All right, you too. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, man. So, that was Steve from Cincinnati. We've got three more people on the line. Real quick, and I'm going to try and get through everyone's calls. Andrew from Athens. Andrew, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I've been listening to you guys pretty much since you started, and I'm happy to continue to follow you since I moved to Athens.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's been great. But I noticed when I moved, following up on the laws, that I had to inform the county from which I got my concealed carry license within 45 days that I've moved.
Yes.
And that's also an important thing that I kind of glazed over in the past, and I didn't really realize it, but I just recently moved. Most counties are really great about it. Mm-hmm. If you go to their website, you can just send something into them. But the county that I came from, that I got my concealed carry license in, which was an adjacent county, they make me go to their specific location in order to file that. And I'm not there.
Right.
I would actually question the legality of that.
That is not the law. You just have to notify them. And the way I would do that is I would send them a registered letter informing them. That registered letter is going to give you a receipt back, which says they received it. Do it that way. And then when you in the county you're in now, when you did do this, you went to your new county, and did you notify them at all? Because
it doesn't mention anything about that, as far as I know.
Well, I don't think you're legally required to notify them, but if you do it, they may want to say to you, well, come in and pay $15 for a new. You don't have to do that. That's also not in the law. So
yeah.
If they say that is not in the higher revised code section that deals with concealed carry licenses and their issue. So,
yeah. So that'd probably be the best way to handle that. So.
Yeah, I was under the impression I had to wait until my new one was up for renewal.
No, just notify. Just notify
in order to get a new license.
No. I mean, you're not even getting a new license. You're just letting them know that your address has changed. So.
And even if you move out of state, our lovely Ohio legislature did not take into account certain things, which frankly happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know, technically, there's nothing in there saying that they can cancel your license because you move out of state. But we do not have an out of state.
Non-resident
license.
So, I mean, that's what I would do. Like Andy said, send them a registered letter. If you're still concerned about it, maybe contact an attorney and get an actual legal opinion.
Right.
You know, we're two dudes talking on the radio, so we think we're right, but that doesn't necessarily save you after the fact. So you might want to do a slight bit more research on that. So.
Okay, I have a couple more things that I wanted to touch on based on what you guys have already talked about. First was talked about websites that you could read up on gun stuff. Do you guys have any YouTube stations that you subscribe to?
No.
Not generally, no. I'll sit and I'll just flip through. I mean, your YouTube searches will put things up there for you to look at, and I'll click on them. Some of them are hilarious. Some of them are good, and some of them are just absolute plain crap.
I will say this, and I can think of three people off the top of my head that are famous for their YouTube gun reviews, and I'm not going to name any names because I, you know, don't want to defame anyone on air, but I have run across very few things that are any sort of worthwhile on YouTube as far as that goes.
Right.
You know, so for what that's worth.
That's why we make fun of YouTube quite a bit on here.
Well,
there's some good stuff on there. There are some good stuff.
I like my clips of me singing car karaoke on YouTube. those are always fun. But, no, I mean, honestly, and that's not to say there's not good information on there. You can do some searches. Paul Gomez, who passed away, I want to say last year.
Yeah.
He had some YouTube clips up that were excellent.
They're
as far
still
as
there.
Good, which as far as talking about the difference between handgun calibers, some other things. But for the most part, and especially most of the well-known YouTube resources, not so much. So,
okay.
And I'd like to get to another question of yours, Andrew, but I got a couple more people on the line, and I want to give them the chance to ask their questions,
too. It's not a question. I just wanted to say the 12-gauge bump thing was cool, but it was unreliable when I saw it, and
yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, no, I don't like those very much. But, hey,
yeah,
thanks for listening, man. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, absolutely. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. So, try and get one more in the next minute and a half. We've got Joe from Cincinnati. Joe, are you there?
I am. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Hey, no problem. I'll try and get to you real quick before the break. What can I help you with?
Real quick, specific question. Carrying school zones. If I am dropping my child off, I am carrying, it is holstered on me. I am still in the car. My child is getting out of the car, and I'm driving off. Is that perfectly legal?
Perfectly legal. Stay in the car. Don't get out of the car to open the door for your son. Don't get out of the car to get his books out of the trunk.
Don't get out of the car.
You can't even take the gun out of your holster, stick it in your glove box, and then get out of the car. You can't do that either. It's very specific.
Yeah.
Specific.
So that's
okay. And side rail off of that question, places of worship. If you are, let's say, accidentally caught carrying concealed, not that I would, but I'm just, you know, hypothetically speaking, what are the ramifications for that?
That is an enumerated CPZ, and that's a felony. Now, that does not mean that you can't get permission, and I'll give you an example. I have permission to carry in the place where I worship. That has to be issued by a authorized person. That does not mean the pastor. That means whoever the church has decided, the leadership of the church has decided to give that permission. You may or may not get that.
Yeah, so hopefully that helped you out, Joe.
It does. Unfortunately, I'm a Catholic, and the Archdiocese does not allow that.
Well, hey, maybe one day.
If they're listening, I hope they hear me.
Hey, well, I hope they're listening, too. So.
I hope they're listening.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Joe. I really appreciate it.
Have a good evening.
Hey, you too. So, we got a couple more callers on the line. We need to go to break right now, but if you want to get in line to talk to us, 513-749-5500, 1-800-823-8255. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station.
Glenn Beck.
This will blow your mind.
Tomorrow at 9:06 on 55KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. So, we are doing our listener call-in special tonight. It's been an action-packed show so far. Andy didn't even get to ambush me with too many of the questions that him and Jim concocted.
They'll wait.
Okay. So we got a couple people on the line right now. If you would like to get your question in before the show's over, 513-749-5500, 1-800-823-8255. Right now we've got Lee from Northern Kentucky. He has a question. Lee, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking the call.
Hey, no problem. What can I help you with?
Got a question about concealed carry. If you do have to use the weapon,
mm-hmm.
and you have altered it from the factory in any way, different sights, a different guide rod, maybe even a trigger job. Not that I would do that. Is the prosecutor going to look upon that in a negative way?
Well, it depends on the prosecutor, obviously.
If they can even catch it, if they even notice.
Well, no, here's what I'll say, is if the prosecutor wants to hang you up on something, he's going to do it, whether or not it's a good something to hang you up on.
Right.
As far as upgrading the sights or, you know, changing a trigger or anything like that, the thing to keep in mind with any modification you make to the gun or pretty much anything you do in general, all you have to do is be able to articulate why you did it. Well, I upgraded the sights so that I could make hits quicker, more accurately, just like every major police department in the United States does. Well, I upgraded the trigger because from the factory it's not as good as maybe one of these other triggers so that I could make faster, more accurate hits if I needed to. So as far as like upgrading the trigger goes or adding sights, I mean, I change my firearms a lot, my carry guns a lot. I've got a different mainspring in my SIG right now that lightens the double action trigger pull. I've got different sights on it. So that's not something that I would worry about per se. The thing to keep, the thing to keep in mind though is that if you're the one making the modifications to your gun and you do something that makes the gun unsafe, specifically if you were to disable any of the factory safeties, that can get you in trouble depending on the circumstances of your shooting. Specifically if they try and say, well, he didn't shoot him on purpose, he shot him on accident because the gun malfunctioned. And I know it sounds weird, but there is a huge, huge difference between shooting someone on purpose that deserved it and shooting someone that deserved it on accident. Whether or not they deserved it, right. If you do it on accident, you're probably going to jail, whereas if you do it on purpose, you're probably okay.
And you have to think about somebody picking up your gun, and you have disabled one or more features of that gun designed to be safeties.
Yeah.
You may have legal ramifications for that. Maybe. So.
And obviously, I'm not going to put skull and crossbones for my age, but something like that I could see where, you know, it makes you look differently.
Sure. Yeah. Do that with your range gun if you want to. Just don't do it with your carry gun.
And honestly, I don't even know that that matters so much. It just really, really depends. But hopefully that answered your question, Lee.
Yes, and I've got one quick comment.
Yes.
Have you heard in Northern Kentucky that the sheriff is hand delivering to your residents your concealed carry license, your renewal?
No, but I wish the sheriffs here did that.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
I kind of had red flags about why they would do that, but I guess it's just paranoia.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't worry about it. So the thing I've learned is if someone's out to get you, they already know where you're at, and there's all this talk of being on lists somewhere and all that.
So many lists now, you have no idea.
Yeah, the NSA is listening to every single word that everybody says, it sounds like. So, you know, who cares?
All data. Everything is data.
Yeah, if they want me, they'll throw a missile down my throat. If not, hopefully they'll leave me alone.
They pay me to watch, John.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that.
Darn. So, hey, Lee, I hope that helped out. So you enjoy the rest of your Sunday night, okay?
All right, thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for listening. So, we got two more callers, and hopefully we'll get to both of them. We've got Jack from Covington. Jack, how are you doing tonight?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right, what can I help you with?
First, let me mention from one of your previous callers, in Covington, we have an attorney, Scott Kappas.
Oh, yeah?
He puts out the Traveler's Guide to the firearm laws of 50 states, so people can search that. Actually, you can get the book on Buckeye Firearms.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
But my question is, I'd like to know your opinion on using 22 understudies in training classes. Because with the availability of ammo now, and I'd like to know if you could take that question and recycle it for some of your future guests.
Yeah, no, I can certainly do that. Essentially, 22s are great for practice. They are great for almost everything except recoil management.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to learn recoil management or follow-up shots or something like that.
Manipulation of your gun.
Yeah, I mean,
you're not going to get that.
Yeah, they're not so good for that. But if all you're trying to do is get trigger time as far as, you know, I want to learn how to operate the trigger smoothly, learn how to press it properly, want to learn how to align your sights, you want to learn how to draw the firearm live. That's all great. And I actually know a lot of, you know, for lack of a better term, gun dudes that use 22 caliber ARs for training just because it's easy. So,
and cheap.
And cheap. I have no problem with that at all.
It's not cheap right now, but it will be again.
Relatively.
You can find the ammo.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly, if you can find the ammo. So, I mean, yeah, you know, anything that goes bang, you can train with it. Just understand what you're learning or not learning. And like I said, I think where a lot of people get confused is learning recoil management. You're not going to do that with a 22. You're just not. They're great trainers, though, as far as introducing new shooters or, you know, practicing certain skills.
The grosser motor skills that you're wanting to ingrain.
Trigger control, sight alignment,
sure.
You know, drawing a live firearm. So hopefully that answers your question for you, Jack.
All right, thank you.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You too.
Hey, so we've got one more caller, Tim from Florida. He's got a question about an AR. So, Tim, how are you doing this evening?
Not too bad, man. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. Thanks for calling in. What can I help you with tonight?
And I just bought it's $922. It's it's the new AR they got out at Walmart, man. It weighs probably about 4.5 pounds. Comes with 230-round mags, but you can't really put any accessories on it.
Is it a 22 AR? Is it a
556223?
It's a center.
Okay, so are you just wanting to know how you could like maybe get some more stuff on it, or?
Yeah, Yeah, I actually have another question too.
Sure.
On top of that, you know, Santa Rosa County in Milton, Florida, we actually the first county in the state to have our own militia. You can go down to the courthouse and register your own militia.
Hmm. Well, you know, honestly, I will say this, and I'll interrupt you slightly. The original definition of militia, and this is lost on a lot of people, was actually pretty much any able-bodied person between a certain age.
You were a militia.
Yeah, you were part of the militia. So the whole, and if you go out with buddies or you go out and have an organized, you know, deal and that's your thing and you do it because you like guns or you're a patriot, that's cool. The one thing I will say about militias, and I'm not suggesting this about yours, but I have run into this, and I think that it's, you know, given some of them a bad name. A lot of militias, especially some of the ones that I ran into out west, were code for, you know, white supremacist groups or, you know, other groups that had political leanings that were, you know, well beyond what I personally would agree with.
Well,
so,
that's just it. They got it for every citizen that owns firearms.
Well, yeah, and that's great.
Regulated. Regulated. Everybody gets hung up on the word regulate. Regulated means well-trained.
Yeah, yeah. Well-trained. That whole grammar thing.
Sure.
To answer your question about the AR that you bought at Walmart, as far as adding accessories and all that, there are all sorts of companies that will make add-ons. You know, as far as you can get different rails, different options, and things like that.
I've tried to take the flash guard off of it. You can't even take the flash guard off of it.
If you can, just try to find out, you know, a name on it. Maybe shoot us an email. Maybe we can get back to you there on specifics.
I'm sure there's some AR-15 armors around your area that would be able to help you out. What you want to do a Google search for is AR-15 armorer and then just whatever city you live in. So hopefully that'll that'll get you taken care of. So
yes, sir.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening, Tim.
Oh, yeah, man. Every week, man, y'all are just awesome, man.
Hey,
I love y'all.
Hey, appreciate it. Hope you enjoy the rest of your evening. So we got about 30 seconds, Andy. Do you want to hit me with...
Sure. You know, we're all gun guys, and we're always got the... It's always the new gun, the new knife, the new holster. You know, do you see a problem with constantly changing how you are carrying? Do you see training scars being built and people wanting the new thing and not learning to run what they have?
Yeah, I mean, essentially what you want to do, and, you know, I run SIGs. I haven't shot any other handgun in probably about 4 or 5 months just because I like to carry in the same spot, use the same handgun, and just, you know, be consistent, because you can't really build any real skill unless you're consistently practicing the same way each time. So, hey, that was a quick show. So next week, you and Jim are going to be talking with Philip Mulliver from Ohioans for Concealed Carry. I'm going to be out in Indiana taking ECQC from Craig Douglas, who has been on the show in the past. So sounds like it'll be a good show for you guys.
You're going to be sore.
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm going to be all sorts of sore. Hopefully I don't get shot anywhere. Unfortunate. Anyway, make sure you check us out at ballisticradio.com and facebook.com/ballisticradio. As always, be safe. Thanks for listening. And make sure you check us out next Sunday, 7 p.m. right here on 55KRC, the talk station.